Peter Welch, you're the founder of a new bipartisan, bicameral, two-house group called Problem Solvers. What's that?
Well, you know, there's a group of us in Congress who have totally different ideological points of view that share one thing, and that is we think Congress is broken, and we think our job is to solve problems. And what that means is that even though it's half Democrats, half Republicans, some are quite on the liberal end, some very conservative, but the thing we share is the commitment to listening to one another and having an acknowledgement that at the end of the day, if we don't move things ahead, we have all failed. And Congress is not working. That's what America has seen. And it was interesting. I was talking to one of my colleagues, a Republican colleague from a very conservative district in Arkansas, and I asked him, what were people talking to you about? And what he said is constantly the question was, why don't you guys get together and get something done? And that's the point of No Labels. It's bringing people together to find ways and issues where we can make progress, build trust, and hopefully then make progress on some of the bigger and more contentious issues.
So when you say No Labels, I get mail about No Labels. Here's what I'm afraid of, Peter, for whatever it's worth. And that is that you guys poll, you find out people are sick and tired of this stuff. And unlike the old days when I think mostly the Republicans decided they weren't going to give Obama anything, they say, boy, we really got hurt by this thing. So now we'll give the appearance of working together rather than really working together.
Well, here's the thing that can make it work. I mean, that is a pitfall. But what can make it work, for instance, is, let's say, energy, all right, where sure. There's a big fight in Congress on whether global warming exists. Now, I believe global warming does exist. I believe science, and I think it's a real threat to our country. But we're not going to get anything through the Republican House. On the other hand, there's a lot of Republicans who agree with me that aggressive efforts in energy efficiency are worth doing. So if we can do something in energy efficiency where we create jobs, save money, and cut down on carbon emissions, and that's low-hanging fruit, why not do that when it has such an upside benefit rather than not do it just because we're fighting about this larger issue of global warming? That's one issue. Or another.
Wait, stop on that one, Peter, for a minute. I'll tell you why. You're a Democrat. You believe in green things. You come from Vermont. You're doing the right thing. Bless you. Yet there are others who represent big business. They represent the car companies. Who don't want to meet the emission standards and the rest of it. And they would tend to be, I'm afraid to say this to you, Republicans.
Well, that may be true. But the point is, Alan, that I can continue to advocate for, say, higher mileage standards, or
sure.
I can even continue to advocate for a carbon tax, which I think is actually something that would be useful. I wouldn't get support from the Republicans on it. So there's nothing that restrains me and others like me from advocating what we think makes sense. Like I supported President Obama when he wanted to raise taxes on the top 2%. So I can continue to advocate just as I always do. But even as I do that, if I can reach across the aisle and find some substantive things where I can get agreement, and they'll make a difference, a positive difference for America, let's do those, even as we argue about the other things. I'll give you another example. There's a lot of people who've been making their mortgage payments every single month, but they can't go from a 6% to a 3% mortgage because their home doesn't appraise. You know, the market value's gone down. Those folks ought to be able to get some help so that they can go to that lower interest mortgage. A lot of Republicans agree with me on that, but they disagree if we got into discussions about principal relief or write-down. But they would agree that somebody who's been paying their mortgage ought to be able to renegotiate the interest rate and not be impeded just because of the appraisal. So that would make a real difference for those families that could refinance, a big difference for the economy. So my point here is that even while there are very sharp differences, where we've got to maintain the battle so that Americans can see what the who's on what side, if you can also find common ground and make real progress, do it.
How much of this comes down to being friends with the other guys?
It's not about friends. You know, legislating is not about being friends, but it's about respect. You know, if any of us who've, like, coached Little League or served on a school board, oftentimes started out with people that we were going to be working with that we didn't particularly like. They had different points of view, different background. But over the course of working together, we saw that, hey, they want this little league team to be good. They want kids to have a shot. Or they want the school board in the school to be better. And you find in the course of the working together that you respect these other people because their motivations are the same as yours, and it creates a desire, really, to go the extra mile to find common ground that moves you ahead. And that's what I think is lacking here, because we have such little time interacting in Congress with one another. That's a big problem. It's so different than when I served in the Vermont State Senate, where if we were seven of us on a committee, we were in the same room for 4 hours every afternoon,
yeah,
and hearing the same stuff and then getting to know one another and building up some bonds of trust. We don't do that in Congress. That is important.
I shouldn't bore you with my war stories, but here I am. Years and years and years ago, 1964, the congressman I worked for as an intern decided he wanted me in on everything, so he made me the bartender.
All right, there you go.
And I was in the room to watch the interactions. And he said, it's the only way I'm going to get you in here, Alan. So there I am, and the Udall brothers are there. They didn't drink. And Adam Clayton Powell, believe it or not, and other people are there. But I had the distinct feeling that as my congressman, Frank Thompson, knew all these people, and they were all his friends, and there were Republicans in the room, that they would reach across the aisle because they were friends.
That's right.
Because they owed each other, sort of, emotionally and otherwise.
That's right. That's right, and that's a good thing. You know, most members of Congress, even if they're really friendly with other members, won't do something that they think, A,
right,
is jeopardizing them politically, or B, jeopardizing their district or who they represent. But on the other hand, they're going to try to find a way to make it work. And you know what? That's a good thing. You know, in life, we never get all what we want. We know we have to work with other people. And actually, people know that that's true in politics as well. And what's been happening recently is our politics have gotten very ideological, in part driven by the extremes.
Yeah.
And we've seen it most vocally, frankly, on the Republican side, where folks like Dick Lugar, you know, a very prominent and respected conservative member of the Senate, got defeated in a primary. And the guy who ran against him, his platform was, I will not compromise. Now, he was too extreme for Indiana, so he was defeated by a Democrat. But the point is, that attitude, no compromise, no way, it just doesn't work. And Americans are getting that. You know, they're understanding that, hey, we got to solve some problems here. That means you guys got to find a way to work together. And we don't.
I have to tell you one more boring war story. One of my friend Thompson's best friends was a guy by the name of Robert Jones from Northwest Alabama. He was the head of what he used to call the Republican Works Committee, but was the Public Works Committee. He was a Democrat. From Alabama, Wallace was rounding up votes on the Civil Rights Act. Now, this is a good example of compromise in 1964. And Jones took a powder. He just came and hid in Thompson's office and didn't vote at all,
right,
on the act, which,
right,
was more courage than voting, you know, more courage than I've ever seen. And he did it because he was a friend of the guy's.
Well, the relationships matter. That's the point. And in Congress, the way our schedules work, we're there 3 days and then we're home 4 days. Then we're there 2 weeks and we're home a week. And people are working in the district, but they're not putting the time in D.C. Our committees don't meet that much, and they should. When we do meet, the hearings are set up basically for the purpose of trying to get the most publicity that the majority thinks will, you know, make the headline. And it's just no way to run a Congress. And there's a lot of frustration. I've talked to some of my colleagues who've been there for years, and they bemoan the fact that the committee interactions are nothing close to what they used to be. And that is detrimental. I do believe that. So the no labels is not, you know, let's all get together and sing campfire songs. And it's not let's all mediate or mute our own point of view. But it is saying that, hey, I may be liberal, you may be really conservative, but the point is we both have a job to do, and if we can't find some common ground, America is just going to be on the stall button.
Peter Welch, always wonderful to talk to you. I mean that, Peter. You're thoughtful, you answer questions, you don't fool around, and I much appreciate it. We come back the next time. I'd like to pick up this conversation, okay?
Great. Thank you.